We turn in our Bibles again this evening to Titus, this time chapter 2, and we're going to read the whole of the chapter. Titus then, and chapter 2, starting to read at verse 1. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Well, as we've looked at this letter on a Sunday evening, we have seen how the Apostle Paul is concerned to instruct Titus to teach the believers on the island of Crete to live godly lives. Why? In order that they might make Jesus attractive, or in order that they might adorn the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's just that these churches, these believers on the island face significant challenges. They face a challenge from outside. The challenge of the world. The challenge of an ungodly culture. We face, of course, the challenge of an ungodly culture as well, don't we? But they also faced a challenge from within. You see, there were, as we said last week, these false teachers seeking to exercise influence among the believers. We spent time thinking about these people, didn't we, last Sunday evening as we looked at chapter 1, verses 10 to 16. These so-called rebellious people, full of meaningless talk and deception. They were promoting Jewish myths and human commands or traditions. I argued that their teaching probably wasn't so dissimilar to that of the Pharisees, who you will remember emphasized external purity, an abstinence from all kinds of things, particularly food. And by their teaching, they were disrupting, verse 11 of chapter 1, whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach. And that, we went on to read, for the sake of dishonest gain. So the believers were facing challenges on two fronts, from without and from within. So Titus is exhorted to teach, chapter 2 and verse 1, what is appropriate to or in keeping with sound doctrine to help the believers live godly lives. You see, the gospel has ethical implications, doesn't it? It's not just that we trust in Jesus and all is well and nothing more is required of us. God calls us to live holy lives, to live lives in a particular way. Well then, in verses 1 to 10, Paul provides instructions, clear, detailed instructions for godly living. And then in verses 11 to 15, he provides motivation for godly living. And our focus this evening is going to be on verses 1 to 10, where Paul provides instructions for godly living. Now, you can already see that there's a lot to consider in these verses. I guess we all tick, if I can use that term, in different ways. We're all wired in different ways, and the way that I'm wired is to want to look carefully at every verse and every word and provide application to every word. But clearly we haven't got time to do that this evening. When I started this series, I was determined to finish it before the end of July. Well, clearly that's not going to happen, especially as I've managed to get Ralph to preach for us one Sunday evening at the end of July. So either I'm going to have to finish this series on Titus when I come back in September, or Peter and Laurie are going to pick up on it, but I'm not going to insist that they do that. There's so much here. We can't look at it all tonight, but what we will do is to acknowledge the different groups that Paul exhorts Titus to address and say a few things about each particular group. Well, the first group that Titus is exhorted to teach is the older men. The grey heads, we might say, amongst the churches on the island of Crete. Paul is clearly wanting these men to be an example to the fellowship as a whole, and in particular to the younger men in the church. Young men need good examples, don't they? As to how to live the Christian life, not only in the home, but also at work and in the church. And I dare say that young men look for such examples, even if they don't say out loud that they desire them. And such mature godly men can, of course, provide tremendous stability to the church and indeed to households. And I thank God for mature, older men who provide such good examples to the younger men. Verse 2 then, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in the faith, in love, and in endurance. Titus is to teach the older men, but he's also to teach the older women. We see that in verse 3. Clearly he wants them too to be an example, particularly to the younger women. And you'll notice here that he exhorts them to teach. Perhaps they're to teach in an informal way and in a formal way. As I was reading these verses, I thought to myself, well, does this actually take place in churches across our land today? It's interesting, isn't it, how Paul always wants the older to teach, to instruct the younger. And one can only assume that the younger are put at a disadvantage when the older don't share their wisdom and their understanding with them. Where that doesn't happen, I wonder what might be done to make sure that does happen. Verse 3, likewise teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. I don't know why he felt the need to say that. Perhaps he was aware that some of the older women were rather partial to too much wine. But he says to teach what is good. As I say, he instructs the older women to teach the younger women. Verse 4, then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. And of course, Paul's teaching here about women being busy at home and being subject to their husbands is not generally that well received, is it, in our day and age? Not even in the churches. And I'm sure that we are all aware that modern feminism urges women to break free from their homemaking ties and any kind of subjection to men. Yet clearly the gospel strengthens the ties of home and husband. I want to pick up on one particular thing that Paul exhorts Titus to do, something that is particularly controversial in our day and time, and that is wives being subject to their husbands. It seems to me that this is the clear teaching of God's word, and it's pretty much impossible to avoid it. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul speaks about men loving their wives as Christ loves the church, and wives submitting to their husbands. And he gives the reason, doesn't he, for this: for the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. Just as the church submits to Christ, wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Unless, of course, their husbands are placing unreasonable demands on them. Wives should not have to submit to physical or psychological abuse. But any fears a wife might have about submitting to her husband really ought to be quenched if a husband is a believer and endeavors to love his wife as Christ loves the church. You see, a loving Christian husband will not treat his wife as little more than an object or a slave. On the contrary, he will do his utmost to provide for her and to protect her and to see that she flourishes in the use of the gifts that God has blessed her with. He will value her wisdom. He will value the suggestions that she puts forward within the context of the marriage and indeed the family. I think it would be good for us to spend more time thinking about the relationship between husbands and wives, in the light, of course, of all that the Bible teaches us. I'm what's called a complementarian. That's a word that's been coined, I think, in relatively recent years. But basically, a complementarian is one who believes that men and women are equal in God's sight, equal in value, equal in worth, yet they have been given different roles by God that complement one another. And when husband and wife both fulfill their God-given roles, the outcome will be, as John Piper has so memorably put it, a beautiful dance. A beautiful dance. That's God's intention for husband and wife. And the older women, it seems, were to help the younger women in their relationship with their husbands and in the home at large. Next, we see Paul exhorting Titus to encourage the younger men. Similarly, he writes, encourage the younger men to be self-controlled. Often young men have very strong desires. Reference, of course, can be made to strong sexual desires, but often young men have strong desires to see change being brought about. And we don't have to spend too much time watching the news in order to see young men who are often found protesting on the streets of our cities in order to bring about what they believe to be necessary change. And sometimes young men within the church can be quite vocal because they see things that they think need to be changed, and sometimes they're right because they see things clearly, but get frustrated and angry because that change doesn't come about as quickly as they would like it to. Perhaps it's not surprising then that Paul says here in verse 6, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-control. And from what we read in verses 7 and 8, it's clear that Paul wants Titus to make sure that he is a good role model to this particular group within the church. As I said at the beginning of my message this evening, young men do indeed look for good role models. And when they see a good role model, they are often encouraged to follow. I would argue that someone like Dick Lucas has been a tremendous role model over the years to young Christians, especially around London, but further afield as well. I would argue that someone like Mark Dever, who is an American pastor serving God at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, is proving to be a tremendous role model to many young men in America and indeed around the world. They look to him. They value his strong, clear leadership. Indeed, there are many young pastors around the world today that are in some ways modeling themselves on him and his teaching from the Bible. In everything, verse 7, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness. I do think that preachers should be fundamentally serious men. I'm not opposed to a joke or an amusing story, but I don't think that the pulpit or the lectern should be a place for endless hilarity. We're talking about the things of God. Show seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. And then fifthly and lastly, the apostle exhorts Titus to teach slaves. We see that in verses 9 and 10. Now, of course, Paul doesn't advocate slavery. He preaches a gospel that in some places will eventually lead to the abolition of slavery. Neither is he indifferent to the suffering of slaves. He's aware of how difficult the lives of slaves can be, yet Yet slaves must show a work ethic befitting of the gospel. Look at what he says. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. We tend to apply these verses to employees, don't we? And I think we're probably justified in doing that. Be a good witness for Jesus in the workplace. Respect your boss, whatever he's like. Don't steal from him. Do an honest day's work. And so make the Lord Jesus attractive. It's a shame in some ways that we haven't spent a lot of time this evening looking carefully at all that's said in these verses. But maybe I can encourage you to go home this evening and to read carefully the verses that apply particularly to you, and to meditate upon them and to pray in the light of them. If you don't know which verses relate to you, because you're not sure what age group you belong to, well, come and see me afterwards, and I will dare to tell you. Though I realise for some that might prove more difficult. But remember, all this is appropriate to sound doctrine. I take us back to verse 1 of chapter 2. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. And remember too, Paul is exhorting Titus to teach these things in order that the believers living in the world that they do might adorn the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we live like this, we are going to be different, aren't we? We can't help but be different in this world in which we are living. But there will be something attractive about it. We will, by living in the way that we are exhorted to in the New Testament, adorn the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us prayerfully seek to put into action the word of God. Let's be doers of the word and not hearers only.